Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me, fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Ross has four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bone saw rips off his shirt, yeah? And says, Chuck your law. Big dirty tricolor.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't watch the sign. Just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
What's going on? Like, everyone just started laughing 2 seconds ago, and like, literally, we're about to go on air, and then everyone just started. Yeah, is there someone behind me? What's happening?
No, I was explaining how you've got no concept of like volume once you put the headphones on. And I was like, hello, everyone!
I mean, I'm listening to myself, like, that's fine.
The listener's probably fine, but when I'm like looking, I'm like, oh, I hope nobody comes out and beats us up from the kitchen.
Like, you just said I'm quiet on the mic. You're the first person to ever call me quiet, I think.
Yeah. No, I can understand, yeah, like...
Really?
Yeah, I'd say it's kind of like, yeah...
Maybe the people in Fight Factor are just beating me down about my squawky bird voice. I just think everyone thinks that.
Eminem. Planned intro starts now.
Oh, okay.
Eminem has upset people by returning in classic Eminem fashion with a surprise album. Surprise, Eminem hasn't been cancelled in 2020 yet. With a surprise album, Music to be Murdered By, released this week, featuring a controversial lyric about Ariana Grande, where the veteran rapper, it's weird saying that about Eminem, the veteran rapper said, I'm contemplating yelling bombs away on the game, like I'm outside of an Ariana Grande concert waiting. Just leave it. This is like, you've got away with it. I feel like you've got away with it by people not dragging up your old lyrics. Why you gotta do this? Why you gotta test it? Why you gotta push the button? But guys, as we get kicked off here on another low volume edition of Low Blows, yeah. Rick Nash, Katie Harvey, and Corporate Keen in the house as always. Guys,
isn't this nice?
What's the most controversial lyrics that you remember in a professional wrestling song? Are you sure you want me to continue speaking at this volume?
Okay. get the fire lit and you know, you're nice, like, get your glass of wine and everything ready. Biscuits and gravy made me a man. Biscuits and gravy made me all that I am. So, yeah, that's it. That's my lyric. It's controversial.
How is that controversial?
I don't know. I went looking for controversial lyrics, and it was like, I don't know. Like, it's couldn't find any in time.
Katie, was your Google search any better?
Yeah, when you said, like, that you can remember, that was already a stumbling block for me because I don't remember things. So, yes, I did Google this. And I know you're saying, like, controversial lyrics. I like these lyrics because the fact that they made a song about this means they thought it was controversial. So I'll just read the lyrics and then explain what I mean. Loves his wife and son and does the best he can. The only wrestler who's not hard to understand. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I'm not saying that women don't fall all over him, but he don't give in. He's a family man. Like, your entrance music is supposed to say something about you that's unique. So the fact that they had to make his entrance music about the fact that he didn't ride around on the road, like, that means everyone else is controversial.
Yeah, that's like, true. It also makes me feel like he did, Like, you know what I mean? It's like the Ricky Dot protests too much. Where it's just like, you know what? If there's one thing I'd say about Ricky the Dragon Sebo, it's he definitely didn't have an affair with his wife. It's like, it didn't ask. Like, didn't
I
mean, ask.
I, was kind of, I had already assumed that. And now, like,
this is just a wrestling theme song. It's a weird time to bring it up. But no, I'm just saying he didn't have affairs. But why would you bring it up if he didn't have affairs?
Along those same lines, here's the story of two brothers, Rick and Scott. They don't use drugs and they're always on top.
I know.
Again, like.
I know.
Like, this is Scott Steiner, like, pre-Freakzilla days, you know what I mean?
Oh, in the 80s, before they did drugs.
All natural.
What an odd thing to make a song about.
I'm going to go with an old classic. We've brought it up a few times here at Low Blows and at Low Blows parties as well. I'm just going to read it out. Look me in my eyes. I can see your thoughts, all your ups and downs, all your little faults. Getting weird already. It gets way worse. Keep acting tough. It's going to get creepy. Honest. All of a sudden, you're starting to feel sleepy. Whoa, escalating. But in the streets, when you doze off, you wake up with your clothes off. Ashamed, feeling so lost. Whoa. Yeah, you can fucking say so. You see my crew, you know my style. Victory is mine. You're going down. That's Billy Kidman's theme. I got none of that from his wrestling career in WWE. Mainly on WWE Velocity. I'm like, oh, the date rapist. Okay, to get things kicked off here on another edition of Lobos, a busy one. We're starting by like just getting ourselves in a weird position right away. And it is one of the busiest weeks in wrestling. Always an entertaining show here on Lobos. It's a big Royal Rumble preview. We're going to be previewing everything ahead of the Royal Rumble this Sunday. And of course, the Royal Rumble party. It's the fucking Royal Rumble party this Sunday. Buskers on the ball. Tickets still available. Only general admission. Table tickets have now sold out. It is always one of our busier nights. Actually going to be it's looking like it's going to be busier this year than it was for Becky last year, which is mental when you think about it. We had an Irish person that we kind of knew was going to win the Royal Rumble last year, and it was packed, but it's looking busier this year. So get down there. It is, like, I've no problem saying this, and it's not hyperbole. It is the best Royal Rumble party in the world. We're doing all our fucking throwbacks and stuff like that, and it's like, holy shit, like, where, like, all of these viral moments, like, over the years, where have, like, I've never seen that about any other parties when it comes to wrestling. So it is the one thing that we do better than anyone else. So get down there and be a part of it. It is way better than sitting at home giving out on Twitter. But there's loads happening in the wrestling world. First off, we have to kick it off with some really cool news from the Irish scene, because it broke last week that Valkyrie, or Aoife Valkyrie, as we may have to start knowing her, and Michael May not only were wrestling in NXT UK over the weekend, Valkyrie has now been offered a contract in WWE, and Michael May as well, like, has, they won their matches. They've, like, they won. They're not only, like, wrestling. Like, we've seen Michael May in NXT UK before. We knew Valkyrie was going over. But, like, this is next level. This is absolutely awesome for two people who really deserve it. Your thoughts kind of seeing all this take place, like?
Yeah, steady. I don't really know what to add to it. Like, it's good for them, you know what I mean? Like, that's their goal, I imagine. And they're there. I'm really... I don't know what else to say.
Katie, you're seeing two people that not only are you've been close personal friends with for years, but you've also seen pretty much their entire wrestling career. It must be surreal now seeing them reach the promised land.
Yeah, it's real weird. Like, I remember both of them on their first day.
Yeah.
And, like, I had a little cry while looking at the Twitter results.
Oh.
And also drank half a bottle of whiskey. Well, but, yeah, like, that was unrelated.
You were crying either way, but it was nice that you had an excuse.
Yeah, I'd been out all day because I was on my Manchester trip. And Phil walked in, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed crying. And he's, like, just into panic mode, like, what's wrong? What's wrong? They're on NXT. I'm really happy for them. But you know what? I think they're just kind of the first on a path over.
Yeah, it's looking that way now. It looks like like the, like when you, like again, with Becky and Fergal and then Jordan afterwards, it was like, right, they're the leaders of the scene. You know what I mean? It's like there was them and then there was everyone else. But now obviously the scene is catching up and we just have this like now they're at the stage where they're all like, right, we are like elite. We are world elite good. And I think we're going to see it. So Katie, obviously like you must have loads of inside info, so like we gotta grill you. I know there's not much you can give away, so blink once for yes, blink twice for no. Okay. Are they earning like 7-figure deals? Are we talking about how much money are we talking here? Oh, that was not the answer I was expecting. Right, so like are they gonna get, do they know if they're gonna get called up yet, or if they know if they're gonna be like on the main roster, or what? Are they in the Royal Rumble match? Holy shit, holy, wait, you blinked 4 times there. What does 4 mean? There's not an obstacle. Alright, look, we're gonna see this all play out as well, and we just wanted to start off, it deserves top billing this week, absolutely huge news and congratulations, but like you guys said, it is what it is, it's awesome, and we can't wait to see them progress on, and the great thing is, with the nature of NXT UK contracts, it means that we're not losing them either, we're still gonna see Valkyrie and Michael May, like perform over here. Aren't we blink if we're okay? Okay, or maybe not okay, I don't know. I can't reveal.
We're gonna see them at the next Fight Factory show if people want to buy their tickets.
There we go, episode 13, tickets available now. Literally, we talk about like see the future of pro wrestling, here's the fucking proof. There you go, you're gonna see who's next in line and also who is currently top of that line, so congratulations to both of them. Also a bit of a somber note to get kicked off on, because this week we did lose one of the greats in Rocky Soul Man Johnson, who passed away this week suddenly of a heart attack, age 75. Rocky, for anyone who doesn't know his backstory and would just know him as kind of the rock star, he had a really notable career and he's someone that we should pay attention to. He sparred with Muhammad Ali and George Foreman when he was young, and that's kind of how he got into the fight business. Then he kind of pivoted towards wrestling. He wrestled extensively with the NWA throughout the 60s and 70s, the highlight of which perhaps being challenging Terry Funk for the NWA title the night that Antonio Inoki fought Muhammad Ali, which was like the biggest night of wrestling in the 70s. Do you know what I mean? You're talking like Hogan Andre of the 70s. Like, that's how big that night was, and he's fighting for the title. He's also the first black Georgia heavyweight champion. He became also the first ever black, he was one half of the first ever black champions in WWE. Not only tag team champions, the first ever like black people to hold any kind of gold, with Tony Atlas as part of the Soul crew, I want to say. I can't remember off the top of my head. He was hugely over there as a face. His whole career pretty much was, because he was very athletic, especially for the time. Like his offense was built around doing like 3 drop kicks, like, and then setting up his Boston Crab finisher. And perhaps only being held back despite all these accomplishments, he probably would have been a world champion. Like, for someone of that popularity and that skill level at that time, he probably would have been a world champion today. But like, you know, wrestling has a difficult past with racism and whatnot, so that may have unfortunately held him back. Of course, he married Ada Maivia, the daughter of tag team partner Peter, High Chief Peter Maivia. Of course, their only child together was, of course, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who he had a hand in training when he got into wrestling after flunking out in the Canadian Football League, and helped get him signed. He appeared also at WrestleMania 13, getting involved in The Rock's first WrestleMania match, which has got to be, especially now, has got to like have increased significance when you look at kind of the heartbreaking but also inspirational social media posts The Rock is putting out this week. And of course, he was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame by The Rock in 2008. So again, there's not much we can add to that. It's just kind of giving some context for the career that we can do. If you want like a proper heartfelt tribute and you haven't seen it already, I watched all 8 minutes of The Rock's little video dedication to him, and it was heartbreaking, but it was also, there was a lot of nice stuff in there. And the problem that we find as well is that when we're here, like, we didn't know these people, so it's like, how do you do this person justice? And, like, you really have to go to people who would know the person or have kind of a relationship with them. Like, and then before, we beforehand on Low Blows, we'd always defer to, you know, the wise and well thought out and mainly accurate, or like, no matter what, it was accurate views of Lance Storm. But unfortunately, Lance has copped on. Someone's got onto him on Twitter and say, maybe not, like, talk about, like, random arguments you had 13 years ago when the person has died. Maybe just put a generic message. So we have to look elsewhere for our honest tributes. And if you listen to Ask Low Blows, which you should do because it's way more fun show than the main show, if you listen to Ask Low Blows, you'll realize that a couple of weeks ago we stumbled upon something quite amazing that... I want to talk about Marty Jannetty, because Marty Jannetty is back on social media, back on Facebook. He's always interesting. He leads a very interesting life. And we realized a few weeks ago that no one could transcribe the life of Marty Jannetty quite like the Queen of Irish Wrestling, Katie Harvey. So to give her full tribute to Rocky Johnson, we'd like to turn to Katie Harvey as she reads from the Facebook, aka the Bible, of Marty Jannetty.
That entrance has given me quite a lot of pressure.
It's Marty Jannetty, it's fine.
I just have to try to do his, like, grammar and everything justice here, because it's quite a trip. Okay, I've got to tell this one Rocky story real quick to keep from crying. The first time I met the man, .. I was living and wrestling out of Kansas City, Mo. .. Back then, I was a dedicated bastard, working out hard as fizzuk. .. Rocky had just came into the territory. Him and I hit it off right from the get-go. .. That brother was all caps big and all caps strong. .. We went to the gym together one day, and I thought I'd show out. .. Put 405 pounds, 4 plates for y'all that go to hardcore gyms. I still don't really understand that bit, because plates are all different sizes. On the bench press, and did it once, .. Rocky nodded his head as if to say, not bad, .. Laid down, not having warmed up at all. Did 5 to 6 reps with it, .. Sat down and said, double quotation mark, I ain't really feeling this today. Then walked out the door and went next door and had a beer, .. Lol, .. I've loved that brother ever since, .. Lol. R.I.P. Rock, .. Loves you, bro, .. Me and Boogie Man was just talking about you today, .. That's what crazy, ..
Beautiful. That was...
Loves an L dot.
He loves a dot. He does love a dot. That's like Marty Jannetty Morse code. Beautiful. So R.I.P. Rocky, we're having a laugh as always, but no, truly does deserve your credit and a YouTube deep dive. Anyway, guys, it's such a busy show. We don't have time for hot takes this week, so we're going to get right into the in-ring action. We're going to talk about the good and the bad before our big Rumble preview. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start, as always, with the bad, because it's time for...
Say something stupid.
Say something stupid. Worst moments of the week in wrestling. In at number 4, one from Raw. So... there were new tag team champions this week crowned. We had, of course, the Viking Raiders, and I swear I'm not just salty because the Viking Raiders are my fantasy team, and that's probably the end of their dominance, and they've done me well. The Viking Raiders have joined the feud as the Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe are having with the Monday Night Messiah, I think they're called. It's usually the team of Seth Rollins, the AOP, and now Buddy Murphy. So they decided that since the Viking Raiders are the tag team champions, they're going to have a tag team title defense, which they promptly lost. Have any of you guys seen this?
No.
Okay, so, like, who'd they lose to in that?
Oh, go on. Say out to the pain. Go on.
Who they lose? Who do you think they lost?
I don't know.
Like, so the stable is Seth Rollins, Buddy Murphy, and the Authors of Pain.
Don't tell me it's Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy. Don't do that to me.
I bet you, is it one of Authors of Pain and Buddy Murphy?
Akon, but not Rezar. No, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy are now the tag team champions. Why? What? There's a really dominant tag team in a really money match that we want to see. Like, why? What the hell is to be gained by that?
I mean, there could be better matches, but...
they love making Seth Rollins tag champ.
Who's he been tag champ with?
Has he not been tag champ
a few times? He could have.
With like a load of partners.
Oh, Shield and... Yeah. Okay.
Braun. Was he with Braun?
Yeah.
He's in loads of random tag teams. Like, if you look back on it, it's real weird, yeah.
What the fuck, though? Like, what? Like, they have a match that's right there. I understand if they don't want to give away that match, but then just don't involve the Viking Raiders. Involve fucking, you know, Street Profits, like. Involve, like, another facey tag team, like, if you have to do that. Why'd they have to give the belts out? It makes no sense whatsoever. And, here's the thing. If they were setting up a match at the pay-per-view, if it was Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy against Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens, I'd be like, or I at least understand why you did that, because you want an extra match in the Rumble. There's not a match. All four of them are just in the Rumble. So they could have actually had a match. They could have had the Viking Raiders against AOP, which would have been a big, cool match. Like, two dominant tag teams. They're not. None of this makes sense. And now I'm like, I don't know if we're just going to get the Viking Raiders winning it back for them, and then AOP being like getting to chase them, like, because that's a weird kind of build. So now it looks like we might not get that match. You have two beastly tag teams, and you might not get
Freebird
that at
will.
All. Yeah, maybe, but like, they made a point of having Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy be the tag team champions. Like, they didn't have AOP at ringside at all. Like, it wasn't a group thing. It was very much these two are the champions.
They're pals, so you can give it
Freebird
over.
Freebird is for three people though, isn't it? Not two, or does it matter?
Yeah, like, you'd have to stretch it, like
Foxy.
Foxy, tweet us in. Yeah, we need to know. We need to. What's the story of this Freebird rule? In at number 3-1 from SmackDown.
So there was a match on SmackDown. I think it was a tables match between Roman Reigns and Bobby Roode. And the stipulation was, if Roman won, he could pick the stipulation for the Rumble match. Right. So, like, he's having a lot of trouble with Baron Corbin and Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. And I think there's someone else running around now, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a gang of them.
And the lads.
This is how much attention I paid to this segment.
It's fair.
So, like, when you're picking a stipulation and you're being harassed by a gang, what kind of stipulation would you pick to neuter said gang?
Can't be a ringside or a cage match.
Yeah. False count anywhere. That just gives them all permission to beat the shit out of Roman, and it's perfectly legal.
Yeah.
I don't really understand the logic. Now, the Usos are back, so that's cool. Mm. Why not just make it like an 8-man tag then?
Yeah.
If you want everyone involved. Or why not? I don't know. I just don't really understand the logic of winning the match and then deciding it's a false count anywhere match.
Yeah.
So the thing I'm trying to get away from is now legal.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get that. The other thing is, Matt, this is a very small thing and a very girly thing, and you probably didn't even register with you.
No, we want to know.
So Mandy Rose is at ringside for Sonya Deville's match, and she's wearing these whopper high heels, like 5 inches high, right? And they obviously wanted to set up a spot where she gets knocked off the apron and Otis catches her, which is grand, right? Except for her interference spot, they had her climb to the top rope in 5-inch heels and like get cut off halfway, and then she falls and Otis catches her. Like, that makes no sense, right? Because if she hadn't been cut off, you cannot stand on the top rope in heels. Like, the whole thing makes no sense, like. And it's such a small thing, but it's just really fucking irritated me.
Have you ever tried
to wrestle in heels?
No, to stand on the top rope in heels.
No.
I dare you.
But I've seen Be Cool do it.
it can be done.
Seen Chantel Mantel do it.
What would you bring up Be Cool for?
Sorry, Be Cool was with me at the time.
Oh, right.
We were both looking at Chantel
right,
Mantel.
That's fair.
Wrestling heels. It's such a small thing, but so stupid. It's like, at least try and make your spot look semi-believable. Like, have her whip the shoes off first, or like, it's just a silly thing. And, you know, the old lady Mimi's like, you're really going to roll your ankle if you try do sports in high heels.
I dare you to try it, though. Like, what's gone wrong? What's ever gone wrong with you on the top rope?
Yeah, me and the top rope have a perfect record right now.
In at number 2, talk to me about what's going on. Well, kind of in the world of Impact.
Yeah. It's actually good news. I don't know why I put it in here. Basically, Tessa Blanchard isn't a racist, according to her.
Oh!
So, yeah.
That's good news. I was getting really worried there for a second.
It's just basically that she put out a statement, and in the statement she denied, you know, being racist and being the bully and all that sort of stuff. But because it was in the form of screenshots on the notes app of your phone 4 times, whatever it was, and, you know, on separate images, fans just immediately went, oh, okay, fair enough. I don't think it's wrestling fans, I think it's people in general that do this. If you write something down and portray it as a statement instead of just tweeting it out directly on the app, people are more kind of, oh, this is serious. Oh, you must be right then. You know what I mean?
That's very true.
They don't seem to weigh, you know, like balance it out. Like who's saying this and who's saying that? You know what I mean? Like if everyone is saying that she did it and she's on her own saying, actually, no, I didn't. I mean, you know, like it's.
To be fair, would a racist deny that they are racist if it was damaging to their career? Would they do that? They wouldn't, exactly. They're right. They wouldn't. They'd come out and say, yeah, I'm a racist. You got me. That's natural behavior for a human to do. They damage their career, which has just recently got much more successful, and they take all of that away just because someone happened to say. So, like, I've got to believe everything she's saying here because that's
well, she did.
A racist wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say, I'm not a racist.
Well, Tessa Blanchard beat Sami Callihan cleanly. Didn't even cheat to win the match. So, I mean, like, surely, like, if she's willing to go through all that and win, you know, the respectful, clean route, then, I mean, how can she possibly? This is actually another thing, by the way. Another thing that really pissed me off, apparently. Alison Kay put out another tweet that apparently Tessa's out now trying to dig up dirt about Alison Kay. She's gone around asking people, you know, she's taken out her shovel and she's gone digging. And Alison Kay's basically making the point that this is why it took so long for the story to come out. Because if you come out and tell your story, this is the response you get. You know what I mean? You start getting attacked then, even if the story's true. So
Alison Kay is an absolute boss.
Yeah.
I'm like nearly at your level now, just because of her Twitter alone. What a hero. Like, just coming out and being like, nah, this is bullshit. This is why it's bullshit. And it's like, yes, yeah, thank you.
It's interesting, but yeah, just I just hate the whole blind kind of fanboy kind of. Oh, you can't be that. No, I cheer for you, so you're definitely good. And you put out a statement, and it's a long statement, so obviously she's telling the truth.
Did she use the praying hands emoji?
Ooh,
because that's usually an exclamation point on you know what you're saying is the truth.
If the statement was a 10 out of 10, the emoji turns into an 11 out of 10. Guarantee on a guarantee. Like,
to be fair, it is a widely known thing that when someone says I'm not racist, but then they're not racist because they said it at the start. They told you at the start that they're not racist, so they can't be true. Okay, so
anything they say beyond that point, you just refer back to point one.
Tessa Blanchard.
MHRA reference guide. You know what I mean? That's all it is. yeah.
In our number one, let's talk about something from Ring of Honor. Interesting, which without hot takes, we're getting some interesting hot takey. Say something stupid, and I'm all for it.
I don't follow Ring of Honor too closely, but I know there's been a whole lot of trouble about their women's champion having a concussion and being fired over email. Yeah. That's all right, isn't it? Yeah, like I don't know too much about it, but I know there's a lot of dodgy stuff going. I know a lot of people are impressed with their women's division, but like they've made recent strides, like obviously signing people like Martina, and like they're trying to get it up and running again. Damage control, brilliant. So they put out a tryout application to attract more very talented female wrestlers to bolster their division and their reputation again. And what they included on this application form was things like marital status and do you have children? And lots of other highly illegal things to ask in an interview. And then apparently you just had to write out the application and send it back to 1955. I don't think I have to explain why this bothered me so much. Like, even outside wrestling, like, there's a lot of discrimination in the working world towards women, especially women who have children and who are married. Like, I found out only up until recently in Ireland, right? Women, when they got married, got rid of their social security number. They took on their husbands and added a W on the end.
Holy
did
shit.
Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
1990.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. my social security card has a W on the end because I was born in 1989. So it's specified that I'm a woman on my PPS number.
Do you know what, though? That kind of fits with the gimmick. To be fair.
Now, I may have got them facts like slightly mixed up because I was in a rage reading the article. But yeah, so apparently you just took your husband's PPS number instead of having your own. So needless to say,
the good old days. They don't make them like them anymore.
Not a good look by Ring of Honor when you're trying to rehabilitate your women's division and your image after everything's happened with your champion. They've taken the application down. I don't know.
Why did it go up?
I don't know.
How did nobody at any stage say, guys, you know what? This whole women's thing, it's not going great for us recently.
Like, proofread, guys. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Just to the general wrestling world, just proofread things. I think the first person to call out was a guy called Kevin Harvey, who's involved at, like, Shimmer and Shine, I think, in America. So, you know.
Any relation?
Oh, I wish. Hitting him up for bookings. So, no, it's nice to see there's people looking out for the women wrestlers over there. So, yeah, just not a great look.
Oh, amazing. Ring of Honor. You know what? Like, I'm starting to feel about them like I feel about Impact, where I'm like, you know what? No, be a shit show. I need more of that in my life. So, you know what? You do you, Ring of Honor. Do you.
But the frustrating thing is they are trying. They're just trying wrong.
Just stop trying, Ring of Honor. Just go away.
Like, at the end of the day, it does not matter if a wrestler has a kid. Apparently Asuka has kids. Do you think that was a factor in her being hired?
I never even knew that.
Yeah, because awesome. She keeps it so quiet. Because yeah. A lot of women feel obligated to keep their children quiet.
Oh, shit.
Because of stuff like this. And not just in wrestling, like in the general working world. But, yeah, so just stop.
It reminds me that Katie is going to get herself worked up. I've seen this look before. She is, like, 6, but she, like, could easily go to 10 with, like, 1 or 2 mild nudges. It reminds me of that episode of The Simpsons where it's like, what's this question that's scratched out? Are you gay? You cannot read that, sir. That question has been, like, this is actually happening, and they're releasing it to the world where they don't need to. Well done, Ring of Honor. Continue to do you. Anyway, moving on to the good from the week. I think we need to, because it's time for... Katie, cheer up and tell us a bit about SmackDown.
SmackDown. So, if you listened last week, I was very disappointed by the return of Miz and Morrison. That did not live up to my expectations. But this week did live up to my expectations, because we got Team Hell No back together. Only for a segment or two. And it was glorious.
Yeah.
So they had Kane just out cutting a promo about how much he loves the Rumble. Yeah. Like, didn't really make sense. But I was into it. And interrupted by Firefly Funhouse, The Fiend, obviously, you know, pointing out that, you know, well, it's Bray Wyatt pointing out that The Fiend has destroyed Kane. He shouldn't be there, blah, blah, blah. So the lights are off. Kane is facing the stage, waiting on The Fiend to come down, but The Fiend comes up through the ring. And I'm sitting there like, Kane, you've been in horror movies, right? You should know better than to be, like, basically running up the stairs. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it was just a trick, guys, because The Fiend climbed up the ring and Daniel Bryan ran across and whacked him with a knee. And it was great. Yeah. It's the first time we've ever seen anyone get up on The Fiend like that. And he bet the shit out of him. He chased him back down to his little hole. And that came out a bit weird.
Get back in your little hole, Fiend. See you.
And he chased him back down into the little hole. And then he ripped out a load of dreadlocks.
Yeah.
And then the lights came on. And it's basically Daniel Bryan with, like, a fistful of hair, like, mirroring what happened to him a few weeks ago. And it was deadly, because we've never seen that. It's a new wrinkle in the story. And then they cut a backstage promo where Daniel Bryan challenges him to a strap match. Normally I hate matches like that. I think they could make it work, because it's just weird enough that, like, I think they can both be really creative with it. And, like, I always say, like, The Fiend and Bray Wyatt are deadly until the bell rings. I think a gimmick will really help, like, the big match feel.
And Daniel Bryan too. You know what I mean? Daniel Bryan's going to have the creativity. He's always been one of those people that can, like, pre-anticipate WWE shitness and make it work for him. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I can be optimistic about this match. Not crazy optimistic, because is it, like, are they going to be, like, with the red lights and then, like, going around trying to bop each other's head off the turnbuckles? Like, is that what this is going to be?
The
turnbuckles is how you win a strap match, isn't
it? It depends what kind of strap match.
If it's a pin, that's okay. This could be good. If it's turnbuckles, that's weird.
Because
The Fiend is going to be, like, weird about being like, 1, 2, 3.
That'd be really funny, though. Wait, is this for the title, yeah?
Yeah.
So, like, if Daniel Bryan, like, touches 4 turnbuckles, he wins the title. That's gas.
I don't know. Like, hopefully they don't do it like that.
I hope
they do that.
I did a strap match and we finished it with submissions. That was the stipulation.
Right, you could have just started that and said, I did a strap match wrongly. You know what I mean?
Well, this is how wrong it was. The strap was a seatbelt that had been cut out of a car.
Oh, CCW.
No.
What?
PWU. Yeah, and have you ever felt a seatbelt? It's really hard to tie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't tie, so I just held it in my wrist, and, like, my hand gingerly for 10 minutes
seat
while I wrestled.
Seatbelts aren't meant to tie. That's the point of them. Yeah. Like, they're meant to stay sturdy even when you get forced.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this one might be really good.
Well, there'll be no seatbelts. Bray Wyatt versus Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan this Sunday. There won't be seatbelts, we don't think. We can't be sure. Anyway, in number four, talk to me about the good from NWA. It's time for a catch-up.
Yeah, this is from a week ago because I didn't get to watch it today.
It's but, good.
No,
it was.
last week, though, it was fucking, it was deadly, right? The first thing I loved was the Ring of Honor invasion. From NWA's perspective, I thought it was really fucking cool. The reason I think it's cool is... If you look at MLW, for example, and you look at Ring of Honor, and you look at Impact, they're all kind of just wrestling promotions. Like, I know, like, they're good. Like, I'm not shitting on them. But it feels like NWA, in comparison, is on its own different fucking level. It's like its own different universe.
Yeah.
Because it's so different. It's almost like, you know...
It's the 80s.
Yeah, you're going back to the 80s, or you're going back to wherever. But it's just, like, it feels like the idea of a crossover. It's hard to explain, but... NWA invading Ring of Honor is a completely different show. Even though a lot of those wrestlers were there like a few months ago, it feels like two different worlds colliding.
I put out on Twitter, it feels like the 80s attacking today. Do you know what I mean? It's like your brain is breaking. You're like, you're looking around for Marty McFly and you're like, what's happening here? What am I saying? How am I supposed to contextualize this? Because I buy in when I watch NWA. I'm like, I am watching the 80s.
Yeah.
It's today's wrestlers playing the 80s, but they are in the 80s unmistakably.
Yeah, so like when they interfere and they're causing a shit show, it's like, it's not going to be like Ring of Honor CZW levels, but it's like the same idea where it's two very different companies where like you can love Ring of Honor and hate NWA and vice versa. Whereas normally whenever you see a promotion invade another promotion on the indies, it's two cool promotions from different cities that fans are kind of, they love both, whatever. This is kind of like, it's two very different identities clashing. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I love as well the justification behind it. Nick Aldis saying, you know, you stepped into my fucking territory, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, how dare you, you know what I mean? And now... Like, and I understand now why he's fighting Flip Gordon. Like, you made it sound proper shit. But when I was when I watched it, like, afterwards, I was like, oh, it actually, it is. It's because obviously they don't want to do, like, Aldis versus Skrull, like, straight away, I assume. So they're doing Aldis versus Flip Gordon. I hope Aldis powers him. But,
I think it's now.
Yeah.
Flip Gordon hasn't been, like, in the NWA power zone. Or wherever they call it. He hasn't been on, like,
what's it going to look like when Ring of Honor invade NWA?
That's what I mean. It is, like, two genuine different worlds colliding, like,
So I am fascinated by it. I can't fucking wait.
I think we're going to get it this Friday, too. Hard Times is this Friday.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I just can't wait to watch that. That's going to be deadly.
Yeah.
Then, Allison Kay versus Melina. That was set up for... It already happened. So if you're listening to this, don't tell me what happened, but I hope Allison Kay kicked her head in. I'm assuming she did. Like, I've seen...
Didn't. Like, and this isn't a spoiler. This is just helping you not put out misinformation. No, they had a promo on this week's show. They had a face-off.
Was Allison Kay versus Melina not scheduled for...
It could have been. I can't remember what they finished on last week, but this week, on this week's show, I've seen it. They had a promo.
Well, I thought it was scheduled for, like...
And they set up what the match will be at Hard Times.
Right, that's weird. I thought the match was like going to be on this week's show. Okay, fine, whatever.
They're building it. They're keeping that same as Aldis Skrull.
Well, that means that she's probably going to retain at Hard Times. So yeah, shit, cool. and then the main event was Scott Steiner and the Wild Cards against Robert Gibson and Eli Drake and Tim Storm. Deadly. It was like New Day, when New Day were trying to get Kofi their his title shot, you know what I mean? They were like friends that were, you know, putting themselves on the line for
their
boy.
It's a great example.
And it was just really fucking cool. And Ricky Morton gets a title shot. Again, probably already happened by the time you're listening, but fuck it, it's still really cool. And I love that. I love all the stories. I love how, like, I'm getting invested into everything on NWA. It's like, I'm all in on it, like.
Yeah, I think the past few weeks have been fantastic. I'll do a non-spoiler positives from this show, just because the pay-per-view's on this week. They had the square off. They had a brilliant segment. I saw this getting shit on Twitter. I thought this was brilliant. They had a brilliant karate instruction segment with Sandow and Aaron Stevens and the question mark. It was fantastic. It went on about 10 minutes and it's just, okay, I can give you some bits. It's not,
it's not a spoiler.
There's a payoff, but there's like, this is just funny bits in it where he's just like, question mark is in the ring and then like Sandow's like, he has like, they have senseis in the ring. So they have like, the question mark is a sensei, sorry, and they have students in the ring. And then like, it's like, imagine that someone comes up to you with a gun and then one of the students like puts up like his fingers like a gun. And then question mark just does shit karate, and he's like, Aaron Stevens was like, I think that's well worth $99 a week. I think so. I think we can all agree. It's a brilliant promo. I loved it. They set up like a lot for Into the Fire, or not Into the Fire. Sorry, Hard Times. I keep saying that. They set up, and also as well, Aldis against Ricky Morton. My one complaint was that this should have been. This should have been the main event of Hard Times. Fuck this Flip Gordon noise. I know that's where you're going and that's what's going to be the next stage of NWA, like the Ring of Honor invasion. But man, this storyline was brilliant and the payoff was very good. Like, it was, like, the match is well worth going out your way. I won't say it. The winner fights Flip Gordon at the pay-per-view, but like.
Who was that? Who was that going to be?
I won't get into it too much, but like, this had me hook, line, and sinker. Like, who's a bigger draw? Fucking Flip Gordon or fucking Ricky Morton, like, getting.
Go on, Ricky Morton, go on.
Yeah, any day, like, you want to see that because that's the storyline they built, and now it's just like, oh yeah, now it's going to be Flip Gordon fights the winner, and it's like, we haven't seen him on this show. I kind of forget it, and even then, he cut like a shitty ass promo on this where it's like taped on his phone, like, at a backstage of Ring of Honor, and he's just like, I'm a new person now. I'm with Villain Enterprises, and I'm going to beat you for the title. And
is he Villain Enterprises?
Yeah.
Who's Villain Enterprises now?
I think that's Marty Skrull, friend of the show, PCO. Oh. Literally DM'd me as we went on air. and then you have Flip Gordon, and then whoever else is PCO.
Brody King?
Yes, that's the one. That's
so it's just a new member then?
Yeah, so yeah, he's in Villain Enterprises. So yeah, it's like, that was a bit meh. But like, this show, it was an hour and a half too. Like, it was a bumper episode. It was fantastic. Everyone, go out your right to watch this. Into our Hard Times, for God's sake.
For fuck's sake.
It's this Friday. I'll go through the card actually now. It is, but check it out. You've got Flip Gordon for the NWA title. Aaron Stevens against Scott Steiner.
Oh.
No, there's no build. That's not a spoiler. They just announced it this week. You have the TV title tournament. And then, do you want to know the Allison K match? Because there's not. This isn't a massive spoiler anyway.
Well, I mean, I've the doc in front of me too.
Oh yeah, well, she's fighting Thunder Rosa, defending belt against Thunder Rosa. So they're stretching the Melina stuff out. So it's great. I'm all in on NWA. Talk to me about AEW, where the highs are still high.
I originally had this and say something stupid, and then I had to think about it, and then I decided it's deadly. Jericho stabbed a guy. Like, normally, I hate this sort of, like, I hate a Triple H sledgehammer. Right, because I was like, that is a real life weapon, and if you hit someone like that, they will die.
Yeah.
Right, I couldn't suspend disbelief with it. Stabbing someone goes along the same lines, but then I remembered that John Cena got stabbed by Jesus, and he was grand.
I had no recollection of that whatsoever.
What?
Do you remember that?
That's one of the most iconic WWE kind of things.
It's really not.
It is.
Stabbing the kidney or something.
Yeah, it's up there with Rock and Austin. Cena getting stabbed. It was Carlito's like bodyguard.
Yeah, and he stabbed John Cena.
Nope.
You don't remember,
recollection.
You
do not remember that.
When was that? Was that 08, 09?
04.
04?
Yeah.
Like WrestleMania 20?
Well, at the end of 04, I think.
No, nothing. Genuinely nothing.
It happened, right?
Or
I'm not questioning that it happened. I do believe you. Like, I don't think you're lying.
So, basically, the Inner Circle want to get Moxley for not joining them and making them look like fools last week. Yeah. So, they all get him. And I think Jake Hager does a running knee to the balls, which is apparently one of his signature moves.
Yeah,
though.
Oh, it looks sick to be
deadly.
Fair. Yeah.
That's deadly. I never knew that.
It looks sick.
I didn't know it was a signature thing. Apparently, it's an MMA thing he did in a fight once.
Oh, really?
And now it's going to be his like signature wrestling thing.
That's cool.
Like a running knee to the balls. Like that's. I want to be clear that that's what I'm saying. A running knee to the balls.
That's like, a proper. That's like a death. That's like that's getting stabbed. That's
illegal in wrestling.
Yeah,
yeah. You just get the ref to turn around.
Yeah, that's a really solid.
It'd be handy if you had a stable. Oh, he does.
Well, that's, you know what? It's not compared to stabbing a guy, I suppose.
So funny.
They have him, and they have him down on his knees, and then you know this deadly spike. Jack of Jericho's watching. He just breaks off a spike and stabs him in the eye.
Yeah.
I just sat there so confused for a couple of minutes, like, did they just stab Mox in the eye? And I hated it. I was like, this is shit. This is unbelievable. I cannot suspend my disbelief. This is rubbish. But then they got me with the rest of the segments where, like, Pac is basically like, yeah, I'm happy to jump the queue if he can't wrestle next week for the number one contendership. Like, that's grand at me. Like, I'm a bastard. And Mox is in the ambulance. And then he kicks his way out and he's wearing an eye patch and he's topless and he's just, it's a lot. It's a lot, guys. Okay. And then he storms down to the arena, cuts a promo really simple about how he's going to kick the bollocks out of Pac and become number one contender. And I was sold. I was like, yep, yeah, I'm all right with everything here because he got stabbed and he's grand. It's just made him angrier.
Yeah.
And I love it.
And now we get eye patch. Now, literally, think about this, right? Dynamite should be interesting this week because it's on the Jericho Cruise, by the way. So I'm going to stay up and watch it tonight, but it should be interesting. But also as well, they're going to be at sea and Mox is going to be a pirate. He's going to have the eye patch. Yeah.
Is someone getting thrown overboard?
Oh, no, Jericho, you can't do that. People will die.
Jericho, oh, yeah. Jericho said no because people would die, but I think they will.
Oh, Jericho's already said they're not going to do that?
Yeah, yeah. But I think they will.
Jericho, who stabbed someone in the eye.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, what?
Yeah, but he wasn't paying the public liability insurance then.
Ah, fair.
So, you know, yeah. Now he's got that. That'd be a serious claim. And
no, but
know,
like, if you go far enough out to sea, the laws don't apply.
Oh, there's no liability insurance in, like, oh, yeah, no man's land. Yeah. Brilliant. There we go. Someone's going to die. Moxie's doing that. Who's getting thrown overboard? Like, people will probably have seen it by the time you listen. Janella?
Yeah.
And just leave him there.
Darby like, Allin's going to cough and drop himself out into the ocean, probably. I don't know.
Imagine a dive off there. we cannot stress this enough. People would die.
Yeah, they're not going to go off the cruise ship. I don't really know how cruise ships work, to be fair. Like, I don't know.
They're told people would die. In a number two, I want to talk about Raw. Raw was okay. It was only grand. It was a Rumble build show, but like even the main event was like Rusev and Lana against Liv Morgan and... Oh, no, sorry. Lashley and Lana against Liv Morgan and Rusev. Like, and it's like, really, we're finishing off before the Rumble? Because there is a SmackDown still to come, but like... That's Friday, and it feels like this is, like, the proper hard sell. So, like, they kind of, like, lost me at that. But, like, the first match, the second segment of the show, was fantastic. I am loving everything about this Rey Mysterio. I'm loving how they use Rey Mysterio these days, okay? So they are perfectly making him, like, kind of exactly what you want out of a guy like Rey Mysterio, where they're leveraging how still popular he is and still good he is. They're putting him in good matches and giving him good spots because he can still carry himself in the ring. But they're leveraging how popular he is to get both what they need out of him, but also to put other people over. Do you know what I mean? Like, so Brock, for example, the feud they have, they got genuine heat on Brock, like, for what he did to him and Dominic, and then they leveraged that to do the Cain Velasquez thing. Okay, the Cain Velasquez thing wasn't a great match, but you can't put that on Ray. Like, Ray did his job and got the heat that he needed. And then if Velasquez didn't hold up his end of the bargain, that's on him. Now, what they're doing with Andrade is fantastic. So they've got a few going back months where Andrade was able to just, he beat him 3 Raws in a row and then stripped him of his mask. And he put into motion this whole thing. If you remember, that's how Dominic ended up coming back into the storyline because Rey Mysterio was about to retire because Andrade had just humbled him. Dominic convinced him to go back and then they've been feuding for the US title the past few weeks. This culminated in a match I thought would have fitted on the Rumble. Now, I know they want to get the ratings up on Raw, so I don't hate it. But it was Andrade against Rey Mysterio in a ladder match. And this is what you wanted it to be. This is this is going to be up there for match of the year by the end of the year. It was fantastic. Some of the spots were borderline fucking reckless. Like, Rey Mysterio, like, What I can't, like, they had real clever spots. Like for Mysterio, like, had him out of the ring. He had the match won, and then Zelina Vega just climbs to the top of the ladder and just sits there. And she goes, "What are you gonna do? What are you gonna knock me off? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" And it's like, that's fucking genius, because he just has to sit there, like, and she doesn't have to do it. And she puts him in a spot where he can't attack her, like, or else he's gonna, like, betray his babyface morals. And then, like, they had a spot where Mysterio knocks Andrade off, and he's still on the ladder, but he just does a hurricane rana, like, you know, one of his, like, flipping hurricane ranas where he catches them on the other side. He does one of them, but it's a straight drop, so, like, the angle is not there, the leverage isn't there. Usually you take a jump at that so you have a bit of space to maneuver your body. It wasn't there, so, like, he kind of landed on his head, and it was, like, scary. It's one of these ladder matches where you're generally sitting up going, someone's going to get hurt, but both seem fine, thank God, and we're not hearing any of injuries from that. And then the finish was just, like, an absolutely sick. So they had, like, a ladder. They had a ladder, obviously, like, up underneath the belt, but then they had a ladder. They had two ladders on both sides stretched out going into the corner. So flattened out around the middle, if that makes sense. And then Andrade just caught Mysterio, hit him with a double arm DDT, which is just a straight fucking drop. If you think about a double arm DDT, it's a bit of a bitch of a bump to take as well, because you don't have your hands to block your, you know what I mean? So if you're going down and you're going through a ladder, that's going to land you on your fucking head. Like, it was sick. It was genuinely fucking sick. If you think of, what was it? I think it was Archer and Moxie from Wrestle Kingdom took a table bump, and it's like, they took, the finish of the match was the same. Double arm DDT off the apron through the table. And it was the same, because it's like, it was sick, and it busted open Archer. So, similar move, absolutely, absolutely sick. Andrade ended up winning. After the match, Zelina starts pulling back the padding on the outside, and Andrade is going to do something that's become a signature of him and hit Ray with a double arm DDT and take him out. And then all of a sudden a fan appears from the audience, and they have a Rey Mysterio mask, and they just appear confronting Andrade, take off the Mysterio mask. It's Humberto, and then you go, why do they hate each other? Andrade, Humberto hasn't been on Raw because Andrade did that to him, and then they start beating the absolute piss out of each other. So again, getting exactly what you need from Rey Mysterio. You're putting over Andrade, you're having great matches on Raw, you're still having, you're leveraging how people still care for Rey Mysterio. They want to see him win the US title. Even during that match, as you're watching it, you're like, I don't know if Ray's going to win, like, or not. Like, I genuinely, he could win, and this could be, like, one more run, or he could just be putting over a young guy. I've no idea. But then you're using all of that to get over someone that's going to be the future of the company in Humberto. Absolutely fantastic, inspired stuff. I loved every second of it. It is worth going out of your way to watch this match. It's that good. It's not just, like, a cool thing that happened on Raw, take my word for it. It's a go watch this match. It was sick. It was genuinely terrifying. But what it wasn't was the best thing in the week, because that honor this week goes to NXT.
Oh, yeah, shit. NXT was like a mini takeover this week. Like, I wasn't ready for it at all. I wasn't even, like, fucking, like, I just watched it because it was kind of just, you know, it was Thursday, I'm on the bus, I might as well just watch it.
Yeah.
I was on the edge of my seat on that bus, and, like, I was fucking, anytime the internet cut out, I was like, you fucking, like, I was getting so into it. It was, right, yeah, what was on? There was a, the Dusty Tag Team Classic, those yes. matches were unreal. The Broserweights, I'm proper fucking in on that. Like, the, again, all you need is a bit of backstory. Matt Riddle gave the most beautiful backstory ever to him and Pete Dunne forming their tag team. I'm not going to try and replicate it. Just go and watch it. It's good, basically.
It's emotional. There's a lot of depth to it.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
it's
history.
Intricate. You know what I mean? Very, very intricate. And, yeah, so I'm already sold that tag team. I want them to do well. And they're facing off against Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster. All I want when I watch a wrestling match is a side to cheer on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm cheering on the Broserweights big time, except I legit have no idea who's winning. I think the Broserweights might, but I'm not 100% sure. And, like, this match was fucking unreal, like, back and forth and all. I don't even know, like, I was watching it just like, oh, fuck. Sorry. Like, yeah. I was trying not to scream on the bus, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, shit. Fucking, but, like, yeah, it must be mad, because I was like, you know, Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews have history and stuff. Yeah, I go way back and then on NXT, scrapping it out. That's pretty cool. But yeah, great match. I'm just going to say, just watch it. The other one was the Grizzled Young Vets against fucking Kushida and Alex Shelley.
Yeah.
Oh, and what I just loved about this was the twist. That was fucking slick. Because you see that match, like, obviously, like, Kushida actually, like, are winning the first one, obviously, you know what
the
I mean?
The reunion of the tongue splitters. Like,
If they don't, even if they don't win the whole thing, they'll at least win the first one, you know what I mean? Nope. No, they didn't. They lose. And it was like, oh, shit. And then Zach Gibson cuts a fucking deadly promo ripping into him, like, oh, fuck. I thought Zach Gibson was an afterthought. I thought they'd kind of, like, left him to the side. And I was like, that's bollocks. At least for now, they're still in it. I'd love to see them go all the way. They could.
There's a decent shout now. You're looking at it and you're like, oh yeah, like now if you're paying attention to them, if you actually care about Zach Gibson, then that means you realize how good he is in the mic and how valuable he could be to you, which means that he could win this all of a sudden. Because you're either just not paying attention to him and you don't care and you just see a ball lad and an accent you can't understand. But if you see the value in him and you're having him beat a big team who are a big deal, then holy shit, they can run with this.
How mad is it seeing Zach Gibson, the same promo that like would deafen everyone in the Tivoli for everyone building. That's the exact same like sounds, but like broadcast no work. Because like, this isn't NXT UK. This like this is NXT. Like
this is USA Network.
USA and everyone's watching. You know what I mean? It's like it's just really cool. Like hearing that and seeing it just like on the big stage. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And dominant on the big stage, not just like a background character. Like that was a statement. I know they always say, "Oh, making a statement just by being there." No, like that was proper, like making a statement. You know what I mean? I think a lot of people who didn't know who the fuck he was before that show now know who he is, and that's pretty cool. What else is there? A triple threat for the number one contendership of the Cruiserweight title. Leo Rush, who is easily the best wrestler in WWE behind Eric Rowan. Like, I genuinely love him to fucking bits. Him, Isaiah Scott. And Tyler Breeze, and again, no idea what way it was going. Really enjoying it, and amazing. Go out your way to watch it. It's fucking deadly. And then the Battle Royal, the main event. I was like, well, after the show that was had, I was like, how can you have this as the fucking main event? Like, I was looking at like, you know, the Tag Team Classic, the Cruiserweight Three Way. I was like, there's no way this is gonna be good enough to like fill that main event slot. You know what I mean? It was. It fucking was. Yeah. Like, this is one of the best Battle Royals I've ever seen, right?
Three segments. Over three segments this Battle Royal was.
This Battle Royal was... It wasn't just a regular Battle Royal. First of all, Casey came back. Casey.
Yeah.
Catizano.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
which, for those of you that don't know, is kind of like the female Kofi from the last... From the last Royal Rumble, who did all the... Remember, she was getting eliminated and she'd do all the cool shit. Yeah, did she quit or was released or something? Or
I think she took time off.
Oh, okay. Well, she came back and it was daddy and she got a big welcome back chant. But what I loved about this Royal Rumble, basically, was the stories they told within it. Like, this was... Again, it wasn't just like, all right, eliminate, winner. You know what I mean? This is like... It was like a Royal Rumble in the sense that there was all these like stories in between.
Yeah, it really was. There was a mini Royal Rumble vibe to this.
Yeah,
and then you're like, oh man, we got a whole like two proper Royal Rumble matches. Yeah. It was a great little like smoke plug for a Royal Rumble.
You had Dakota Kai and fucking Tegan going at it. You had like Shotzi eliminating fucking Shayna Baszler.
Oh, that was amazing.
I lost my shit for that. That was so cool.
That was such a good surprise.
I
didn't know Shotzi. Like, I hadn't seen much of her before.
No,
For that to happen, like, and for her to be the one to get Shayna, and it's such a good sleight of hand because you're like, well, how could Shayna win the Royal Rumble now? Do you know what I mean? Now you're not thinking about Shayna because you've seen her lose. Do you know what I mean? And you've seen her lose in a Rumble style match. So now she's like, you know, obviously, you know, we are discussing it still, like, because we analyze the shit out of them. We're like, they're future plans. But if you're just thinking about it in storyline kayfabe sense, you're like, well, Shayna's not going to win. You know what I mean? Great sleight of hand.
Just the unpredictability of it. Like, I couldn't tell you who was winning that. I genuinely had no fucking clue who was winning it. Even after, I would not, I guess, like, you know, Bianca Belair.
Yeah. But it was like, it was the way it should be in wrestling, where it's like, they deserve it, they will not. Do you know what I mean? At the end of it, you felt like it, because you're like, I didn't at the start of the match necessarily want to see Bianca Belair win that match, but like at the end, I'm like, oh, that's fair. Well done, congratulations.
And it was also a really, really good final too. You know, like a really good battle at the end as well. I just really enjoyed it. There's just so much to it. It was really, really good.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and a great way to get into Rumble season, which is coming to an end this Sunday, guys. It's the fucking Royal Rumble party. Oh my God, I cannot wait. It's going to be amazing. Busker Fridays from 8 p.m. Getting started with we are going to have so much. It is always one of the most mental parties. We will have, we announced last week we were thinking about it. We confirmed it this week. We are going to have two Royal Rumbles that you yourself can win. Not only does the pay-per-view two Royal Rumbles, now the party is two Royal Rumbles. First off, we're going to have a SmackDown Here Comes the Pain Royal Rumble filled with you guys. As soon as someone gets eliminated, one of you comes in, and then we keep going on until there is only one person left standing. Imagine a computer one, though. That'd be gas. We're also going to have a Pool Rumble on the night as well. Always a popular one. 30 people. If you miss a shot, you're over the top rope. Again, one person left standing wins free booze and gets a shot at WrestleMania at Butch's Low Blows Pool Championship. Guys, we also announced this week. Other stuff we're going to be doing. The Royal Rumble Raffle. The Royal Rumble Raffle is out now, and we're going to basically we're actually like raising the stakes for this one. So there's two cool prizes for this. It's going to be a raffle for the Women's Royal Rumble, raffle for the Men's. Pick a number between 1 and 30 at random. If that number wins, then you not only get two free tickets to WrestleMania, you get a table and you get booze at WrestleMania. So well worth your time. For the sake of €2, you could win a lot, and it is a pure game of chance. Guys, we have just announced the Wokeens will be defending their tag team titles. Now, we were looking at doing something, but unfortunately the challengers weren't able to make it this time. So what we've done is they're going out and they're challenging every single one of you. You guys are putting out an open challenge on the night. The way it's going to work, it's an 18 pool tournament. How do you play? You just come to the door at 8 o'clock, sign up. First 8 teams to sign up, you're in. We'll get you playing straight away. The last team standing, get a shot at Katie Harvey and Corbin Keane, Lobos Pool Tag Team Championships on the line. Guys, how are you feeling about facing literally anyone it could be from Buskers?
Grand, yeah.
Can we change the team name?
No,
New Year,
no,
New Us?
No, there's no no.
New Year, who dis?
No.
What?
No. The team has been
well, what about when it's September? That name makes no sense. New Year, who dis?
Right, that doesn't
oh, that
have
you were gonna call
no, that doesn't have to be the name. I was just saying, like, the New Year. Oh. Could be a New Us. Like.
No. No, we won the titles. We're
how about if we win again, right? Then I get to change the name.
No. Why did you even come up with that? Why would that even be an idea that pops into your head? We've been, like, hang on. We've been champions since what? SummerSlam?
SummerSlam, yeah.
And we're the same team now that we were then. There's no change. You don't change it mid-title reign.
How about this? Whoever pots the winning black ball, assuming, of course, you do actually win, you could get hockey.
Well, no, we won't. Yeah. We won't. But, like,
but assuming you do win, the winner who pots the black ball is the team captain, officially.
Okay.
No. I'm already a team captain. Why would I potentially sacrifice that? I'm already team captain. And as team captain, I'm able to put my selfishness aside and say, I would be happy if Katie potted the black ball. Why wouldn't I be? We're a team. That's how it works. But I'm already the captain, so that's just how it is.
No, I think we're going to go with my thing. I think that's going to be the thing.
That's a shot idea.
Have you sent to say to the Buskers faithful who are going to be coming down gunning for your tag team titles?
No.
Not really. I don't know who I'd be addressing. Some
like a general like wrestling like okay. It's a guy more than likely with a beard and a wrestling shirt, and his name is some wrestling fan name. And like he has like he changes his name on Twitter so that it's like culturally relevant all the time. Like whatever's happening. Like it's like if his name's Steve, then a Halloween he's Spooky Steve.
See you. With your big beard and your wrestling shirt, you bitch.
There you go. See, my issue isn't with the people we're going to be facing. My issue is with that fucking trick white ball that keeps appearing during my matches. So I will be checking balls before
we play. Whoa, we just had a spike in there. Ticket sales. Royal Rumble already sold out. Look, it'd be false advertising if you didn't know.
I'm just going to be quiet now and
just play. We will see how that all goes down this Sunday, of course, before the Royal Rumble live and in full. Two Royal Rumble matches. This party has been like, it's always a class night, but like we had a few lackluster rumbles, but like the past few years since they've introduced the women's rumble and we get two matches, it never fails. It's just a great formula. It just works. works. It's going to be class, and you have to see it with people as well. It is the best way to experience it if you can't be there in yourself. Guys, we get the weekend started, though, on Thursday night. We are bringing back the Tweet-a-thon. So, the way this works, if you're a newer listener, all you have to do is push play on the WWE Network for the pay-per-view that you guys voted for, which is... Great choice, guys. Royal Rumble 2001, possibly the best Rumble ever. I don't know how we haven't picked this yet, but we're going to write that wrong this week. It's going to be like the card is even classes. Triple H against Kurt Angle. It's like Benoit against Jericho in a ladder match, which, okay, yeah, I know about Benoit, but like, that's a class match. Then you have possibly the greatest Royal Rumble ever. Of all time, like in the mix. We could debate that for hours, but like it's a great one nonetheless. Drew freaking Carey. We're going to watch Drew Carey. I'm going to tweet Drew Carey tomorrow and I'm going to see if he wants to tweet along with us.
I thought he was in 2000.
2001. And then Kane comes along.
Oh.
And then, yeah, no, it is. And then you have the hardcore element. You have Austin. Like, he gets taken out of it at one stage. It's a fantastic show. Guys, join us for that. You'll get bang in the mood. You can't go wrong.
Spoilers, man. Do you know what I mean?
Well, we don't know. We're going to live tweet it. So, like,
I can't remember who won it.
Well, there you go. You'll have to tweet along to find out. There you go.
You're buzzed to find out who main events WrestleMania 17.
Yeah. Who could it be? 2001, best Royal Rumble, best WrestleMania, arguably. Like, that was wrestling, literally peaking. And then on Friday, we will have our prediction league. We're about to give our picks. Now, of course, also NWA Hard Times from midnight on Friday to get the mood in the weekend. And then we have Worlds Collide on Saturday as well. Great card for that. It's turned into a serious card. Regardless of what you think about NXT UK or whatever about that, or if you're psyched for the premise, the card itself is absolutely fantastic. Ultimate Undisputed Era against Imperium in an 8-man tag main event. You have Fit. Sorry.
I got to die. You know what I mean? Like, I just
lost my breath. You have Finn Balor against Ilya Dragunov. Amazing. Jordan Devlin challenging for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. That is going to be class. A four-way match.
It's definitely going to win it.
There's a good shot here.
Is there?
Like, if there was ever going to be an NXT UK guy win something here, okay? Angel Garza isn't a dominant champion. Has kind of been forgotten about since he won the belt.
Has he?
He hasn't done much. What's he done?
He's on commentary in the match just there, like.
Okay. Like,
he's fighting fucking... Oh, no, wait. Was that number one?
That was the qualifier. Yeah. Oh, okay. So Isaiah Swerve Scott's going to be in it. Of course, old friend of Jordan Devlin, lest we forget. We know that they can do great stuff, but the NXT know. Travis Banks is going to be in it, and then, of course, Angel Garza as well. I think there's a shot.
Really?
I think after the match with Tyler Bate at TakeOver, I think there's a shot. Katie, blink once if Jordan's going to win. Oh, that's really disappointing.
Eyes,
that's
eyes
really
are
what
right
does
up.
Four mean? We didn't come up with something before. Jordan Devlin, and as well, like, who knows if he's Cruiserweight champion, could be in the Rumble on Sunday. Just saying.
All right, fucking hell, right, calm down. 30 spots in that Rumble, by the way, which is mad low when you look at like the amount of
announced people.
Only 10 per brand, like, and that's without surprises.
They've announced like a shit ton already. Like,
they've announced 4 for the women.
Yeah, for the women.
They've announced 22 for the men.
Out of 30.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but that could be it. Like, maybe the people in the matches won't be involved in it. Do you know what I mean? They don't have to be.
The people in the matches?
People in matches beforehand.
So like,
oh, how were they announced for it?
I think Reigns is in it, yeah.
Yeah.
So again, he's including the 22. But Andrade doesn't have to be in it. Humberto doesn't have to be in it.
No, I don't expect them to be if they're not announced, because 22 announces is a lot.
That's it. But, so you have 8 surprises.
But that's excluding NXT, isn't it?
Yeah, but that's a surprise.
Well, they're just a part of the roster as anyone else, like, you know what I mean?
All right, so let's talk about the Rumble card, because we can't stop. All right, first off, we'll start off giving our predictions for the other matches first. Sheamus comes back. His first is WWE in-ring return against Shorty G. You got to bet on this being on the pre-show.
He is battering that lad.
Yeah, is it even close? Yeah.
Yeah.
Does this go over 3 minutes? No. Or is this a straight-up fuck-off squash?
It probably will go over 3 minutes, but I'm going to... I go with my heart over my head, so I'm going to say less than 3 minutes.
Great. I think Sheamus as well. Guys, the Prediction League, by the way, Friday, get involved. There are loads of bonuses on the line. We're going to be talking through some of our thoughts for the bonuses, too, as we go. Andrade against Humberto, just announced today, for the IC title. It's going to be a good match, because these guys are absolutely killing it. But do we think Humberto wins? He's just back on Raw. How are we feeling about that?
I love Humberto, but no.
No, shenanigans, and then they do another match.
Yeah, yeah, they need more build for this. I think it's on. That's going to be pre-show as well, so there's no point. An interesting one is Bayley against Lacey for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Like, Lacey is getting a big push as a babyface. They're kind of playing on her military background now. And it's one of those things where you can tell WWE want Lacey to be a thing. When you think of it, she was the first person viewed with Becky after she was the champ. She wrestled the first ever women's match in Saudi Arabia, which we know, even if we don't care about it, WWE care about it. And now she's getting this big babyface push. It'd feel weird to stifle that. Do you think there's a chance that she wins the belt off Bayley?
No. No, but I think she's a good shot at winning the Rumble. Oh. So I think Sasha could cost her the match, and then she enters the Rumble to get her shot at Bayley again.
That'd be a bit of an anticlimax, though,
wouldn't it? That's not happening. That's awful. Happen. Don't do that.
That's a way to get people happen. To shit on.
No, don't say that. Don't say things like that.
People are really behind her now.
Well, I'm not, so I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think that's just one of those things where, like, that's how you Roman Reigns someone. Yeah. That's how, like, you just give someone, like, push them a bit too much. I don't think the crowd are there where it's like, you win the Royal Rumble, you're main eventing WrestleMania now. I don't know. I think
imagine
that'd be a bit weird.
Lacey Evans main event in WrestleMania.
Speaking of things that piss people off, Roman Reigns is fighting Baron Corbin in the last man standing match. Are you excited for
it? Is it False
Count
Anywhere?
False Count Anywhere, sorry.
Oh, no, I was only taking the piss. No, I'm not. Reigns is going to batter him. It's going to be good. It won't be good, but he'll batter him.
Could it not be one of those things like Becky last year with Asuka where she lost the match beforehand but then won the Rumble?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Corbin beat him at TLC?
Hang on. Is Reigns in my drafts, like my fancy team?
No, he's in Katie's.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Reigns is?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
I'm 90% sure.
I think
sure
he's in mine.
I have Finn Balor and Sheamus.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a nice patriotic team. I would have gone with that, but...
that's gas, isn't it?
Oh, shit, Keen. Oh, you can catch up with me.
Oh, man, I'm getting those 50 points, man. Oh yeah. Fuck. Well, no, because Rowan's obviously... I've got Rowan as well. Rowan's obviously this is great. Oh, sorry, spoilers. That's my prediction, but anyway, we'll get there. I'm going to go with Reigns to beat Corbin, but yeah, you make a valid point, but...
But then would Corbin beat him 22 once in a row?
Yeah,
he probably would, but I don't care. I'm going to go with Reigns anyway. I love Reigns.
Imagine it was Reigns Corbin in the Mania match. Like, Corbin just beat The Fiend for the belt in the Mania match. That'd be so
funny. I'm up for it. Like, I don't mind WWE if it's like either really good or really shit. It's just that, like, you know, the mediocre. You know what I mean? I don't want that. If you give me something that's like obnoxiously bad, I will like it. So Corbin beating The Fiend in like 3 minutes, I'm actually alright with it. Like.
Turns out like his weakness was Kings. So there you go. That's it. The Fiend, speaking of which, against Daniel Bryan for the Universal Championship. It's an interesting one because what does Daniel Bryan do heading into WrestleMania season then? You do look at it and you say The Fiend's going to win. Yeah, look, they're building him all the way up to WrestleMania. But is there any chance of Bryan getting the win here and then stretching out towards Mania? These two have a lot going for them. And jobbing Bryan out again would be...
I hope The Fiend's not bald, but I'm going to go with The Fiend to win anyway.
What do we think about the strap match? Are we still confident now?
I hope it's a turnbuckle one. That's really funny.
You could have a shenanigans ending then. If it's like a stipulation match.
Miz and Morrison? Just wreck the gaff?
Yeah.
Technically, they're involved in this now.
That's true. Like, Miz is still, like, gung-ho from...
He's still pissed.
Well, how would...
Is Miz in the Rumble?
They could, yeah, they probably...
Oh,
yeah.
They cost Bryan, could they?
They could just, ruin the match.
But they're not going to beat the shit out of Fiend, like, you know what I mean?
Two of them could.
Miz is not Bryan. Announced for the Rumble.
If Bryan gets him down for the tree, and then, like, that'll be when you do it. That'll be when you have
so
him
beat the shit out of one of them while the other one's down, is what you're saying.
No, he beats the shit out of Fiend, and then it's like, Bryan's going to win the belt, then Miz and Jomo win the
Yeah, that makes a bit more sense.
Do you know what I mean?
But I can't see... But the thing that confuses me is, like, how the Fiend can take a million curb stomps or a million... You know, he's, like, super indestructible.
Yeah.
But it'll only take, like, what, like... one or two knees from Bryan or something and he'll be down for the tree.
See, no, he gets the shit kicked out of him just when you try pin him. That's like when he powers up.
Oh,
it's like God cheat fair. Code where it's like pinfalls.
Ah, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I get you. You got me.
So he could lose a strap match because he won't be pinned.
Oh. Bryan really loves those turnbuckles.
I really hope it's a turnbuckle win. It's so funny.
And imagine if that was the end of the Fiend's title.
That's what I mean. It'd be so funny.
Yeah, but for the wrong reasons. Here's what I want to discuss. Raw Women's Championship on the line. Becky against Asuka. Because, the simple storyline is Becky gets her win back. Becky's been losing all the time on Raw. And, like, she overcomes her last obstacle. But Becky is making me think that that's not going to happen. Okay? Reason being, she talks about, like, how, as the champion, when she'd beaten everyone, she, like, lost her motivation. And Asuka's got her getting that motivation back, because now she feels hungry again and like she has something to chase, which we know WWE love a babyface chasing, especially heading into the WrestleMania season. So, part of me is thinking that Asuka's winning here and that they just continue this. Like, this is your Mania match. Like, whoever wins the Rumble, like, if Lacey wins the Rumble, she challenges for the SmackDown belt or something. And then you, like... Because keep in mind that the winner doesn't have to face Becky. They can face Bayley. Sasha could win, and then it could be awkward with her and Bayley, and that could be a whole thing. Do you know what I mean? So they can do it that way, and this could set up, like, because, like, Becky basically said, when I'd beaten everyone, I'd no hunger. So what do you get? What is Becky's motivation if she beats Asuka now? You know what I mean?
Winning the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, it's WrestleMania, so, you know. No real hunger left. Now,
that's not a bad lineup. It's not like Becky, Asuka, and Bayley, Sasha. Like, that's all right. Like,
or Bayley against Shayna, for example. That's an even like more box office lineup. Do you
I
know?
Could see Shayna doing the winning the what's it? What's the battle royal? It's just called battle royal, isn't it? the unbranded battle royal.
Yeah,
I could see her winning that. I don't know. It's interesting.
Who are we thinking for Becky, Asuka? Though, where are
I
we? Where
think
we
Asuka.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you've definitely swayed me a bit.
I said this to you last week. After we went off air last week.
And I was like, no, you're not going to sway
Becky,
me.
Becky. No, it's grand.
No, I am still going with Becky because of my Rumble predictions. But that, you have, like, I wouldn't be surprised now if it did go the other way. It's interesting.
It's an interesting one. After all that, I'm going to pick Becky. Yeah.
You talk us around.
But I am interested. I am leaning towards. Because, let's talk about it. Women's Royal Rumble, okay? The reason I think it is because of what I think happens in this, okay? So, first off, let's talk about it. There's going to be a bunch of, like, bonuses in the Prediction League for this as well, okay? So we're going to have, like, bonuses for who's going to be a surprise entrant. We're going to have... Now, again, like, we're going to split it up where... Like, we'll separate it, so if you don't want to avoid, if you want to avoid spoilers and odds and stuff like that, we'll keep that, we'll keep it separate, okay? So, like, you can just, like, play the game and read what the bonuses are, but we'll keep it separate. But there will be, like, weighed points for surprise entrances, or surprise entrance. There's going to be points for if you predict the final four. There's going to be points for if you predict the winning number, as well. So, there's a lot to play for in this, and obviously points depending on who actually wins the whole thing. So, first off, Women's Rumble, surprise entrance. Who are we thinking? There's four people announced so far.
Five now. They just announced Natalya.
James.
I am going to say AJ Lee.
You think?
No. But that'd be mad though, wouldn't it?
Paige is strongly hinting at it.
Ooh.
But they've been so firm, like, she cannot take a bump again.
But they said that
that's
about
what they're saying, you know,
yeah.
I mean?
But they said that about Brian. You know what I mean? Like that was Brian's whole thing. She's coming out strongly. She was on backstage this week and she was playing it very coy. Like they were straight up asking her, and like she was like, "Who knows? They have to watch Sunday. Who knows? Oh. Who knows?"
Yeah, but she'd be saying that if she wasn't it as well.
Yeah, that's true. But also as well, like I think it'd be mean if there was no. Smoke to it.
WWE would never be mean. They would never do
no, that. No, well, not even that. It's like Renee Young and all her colleagues and all. This isn't a WWE show. This is a Fox show. Otherwise, CM Punk, he's been very clear about that. So, like, yeah, it's an interesting one. Paige, I think, is a decent show.
See, it's hard because they've used up a lot of the kind of semi-active girls over the last two Rumbles. There's not that many left. I would have said Melina, but not now because of NWA. The only ones I can think of that haven't been a surprise is Stacey Keibler.
Imagine.
Oh,
so
John
many.
Kelly, man. Oh, that'd be so good.
Or like for me, I'd love Lay Cool in there together.
That's a decent one. That's a decent show. Layla's back wrestling, am I right?
Is she?
I think she just came back like a couple of years ago.
I don't think that's a great show because they already did it. Like that, not the last one, but the one before it where they
that
had
was just Michelle McCool though, wasn't it?
Was that on Lay Cool together?
Was it Lay Cool together?
I can't remember.
I can't remember it.
I know Michelle McCool was definitely there, but I can't remember Lay Cool.
Yeah, I can't remember Lay Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, but like, would that get like a monster pop though? Do you know what I mean? Like, would it?
No,
would,
like,
would the stadium
I mean,
fall to bits because like Lay Cool?
Is there that many people like who get a monster pop that haven't been in a Women's Rumble yet?
AJ Lee, Paige. Well, Ronda wasn't in one. Because she only came out afterwards.
Yeah, Ronda's never
been in a Rumble. Ronda's a good show.
Ronda's
as well.
My pick. Ronda's my pick to win it, and she's my pick to appear. That's and it'd be number 30.
Yeah, I think the spires are mostly going to come from NXT. Your Tegan Knoxes and.
Is there any signings? Because this is the way we have to think about it now. Is there any signings they could have? Like, imagine like if Martina hadn't signed for Ring of Honor and she uses a free agent now, and we'd be all like, ah, oh, everyone, like it'd be class. But is there anyone like any potential free agent?
Eva Valkyrie.
Like, yeah, you look at NXT UK, you're gonna get
Mercedes Martinez is definitely gonna be in it.
She was in the NXT one last week as well. Oh, so like she's debuting now.
That's the good one. Yeah, I'd
that's really cool.
I'd actually be really confident to see her in that.
Any old school ones, like who's the trainer in there? My head, Sarah Del Rey. Like stuff like that where it's like Victoria.
Victoria would be excellent.
That's possible.
She's like retiring very soon, isn't she? I think this is her last year. So.
Ooh, that'd be the one.
I'd love if Beth Phoenix did the whole up off the announce desk.
That's a great show. That's a fucking great show.
That is a really good one.
As funny, as cool as the commentary desk thing would be, I don't think she'll do that. Or she might. But her being in it is a real...
Is she not in last year, the year before?
She was, so I think you'd have to do the commentary desk to make it special.
Yeah.
Oh, then she could. Oh, that'd be... Well, who's commentating? Well, we don't know.
We don't know. This is the thing. But it could easily be her.
And I mean, look. NXT
like, for the Women's Rumble as well, they'd want to get a women's voice in there.
Yeah,
do you know
and
what
also,
I mean?
NXT is, you know, it's main roster commentary. You know what I mean? I'd say she will be on. Yeah, that's a great show, actually. Yeah. I now watch it not happen, and I'll be very disappointed.
No, but who else is going to commentate? She's definitely at least going to commentate.
No, she'll be on the commentary,
Okay, that's excellent. And she's very good as well. Right, okay, I think that's...
This is so exciting, isn't it? I'm proper into it, like...
Okay, so, for winners, right, you've kind of tipped your hat, so we'll come back to you. Who do you think is winning it all, and where do you think it's playing now?
Are
you
going
to stick with Lacey Evans?
I do think she's a good show. Look, I've been looking at the odds as well,
say nothing.
No, I'm not going to say it, but it's just like it's. I think the Women's Rumble is where you make the money because I just think it's wide open. I think it's. I don't know. I'm going to go Lacey Evans. Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because it's not happening.
Rhea. That'd be the main reason to vote against it.
Yeah. That's a good reason.
I'd like Rhea Ripley to win. And like she's so dominant at Survivor Series. I think she'll definitely be in the last four.
What could the main.
Oh, that's a good shout, Zashi.
Yeah.
Are we doing Final Four now?
We are. We can guess it if you want.
No, I don't. It's really complicated. Don't do that. I was like,
it'll break it.
Yeah. That stressed me out last time.
Okay. So, Keane, who you got?
Ronda, number 30, winning. Does that count then as my special...
Your number as
surprise
well.
Surprise as well. So, yeah, Ronda winning it. Ronda surprise and number 30.
There you go. You're just compressing it all into one.
Yeah. lose everything if she doesn't appear.
I don't think Ronda's coming back here. I'm not saying I don't think Ronda's coming back, just not here. Reason being, I think Shayna's winning this. I think Ronda has to come back in a position where she directly confronts Becky Lynch. So I think that happens on a Raw. Like, say Shayna wrestles Bayley at Mania. And then it's like, we think it's going to be Shayna Becky, and we're like, there's so much there. But like, that's a match to be saved. Ronda Becky is something that we need full closure on. We didn't get it fully last year, and we need that one-on-one match, and they've still got juice in it. They sell the shit out of that. I think it's going to happen on a Raw, where like, Becky's in the ring. I think this is why I think Becky's beating Asuka, okay? I think Becky's in the ring on Raw and she's like, I've beaten everyone, guys. This is it.
Ooh.
Is there anyone left? And technically she has beaten Ronda as well, but there's that one little thing.
Oh, fuck, man. That's a solid prediction.
And I think then all of a sudden, like Monday after, the like literally the Raw after the Rumble, and then you hear, and then Ronda comes out and you're like, holy shit. And just the stare off, it's going to be one of those Mania cells. Do you know where, like, when they get into Mania mode and then they have these promos where nothing's said, they just stand across the ring and stare at each other, and then it's like, what's gonna happen? And then it builds week by week after then. I think that's gonna be how you set up Becky Ronda. I think Shayna's winning here.
Fuck, that's a good one, actually.
I'm
gonna need some time to change that, but you know, I might stick with it.
You got until the weekend, don't worry, you're good. These picks aren't final. Right, let's talk about potential surprise entrants for the men. We have Edge. We have.
I'm convinced Edge. I'm 100 billion, billion, trillion, gazillion percent.
What if it's Edge and Christian?
Yeah.
What if it's
possible?
What if it's Edge and they're setting up Edge Rollins? Because Rollins tried to break his neck like a few years ago.
What if it's Edge and Christian and Gangrel? Just throwing it out there. Oh, just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Rude reunion.
There's three wrestlers, all right?
I floated your three count theory at training last night and everyone laughed at me.
Is one of them not dead?
No.
It's Hurricane and Shannon Moore.
And Evan Courageous. Yeah, is he not dead? No, he's not. Is he dead?
Is he?
I think you can get it with Hurricane and Shannon Moore. Like, I think.
No, that's two counts. That's not even a full pin.
Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott. Oh my god.
Yeah,
that
there
is
we go.
Man, yeah, I'm sold.
Shannon Moore, right, so Shannon Moore basically had to pull out of, for anyone who doesn't know, he had to pull out of indie dates, and then like randomly, like it was reported during the week that he had to cancel weekend dates because of an unexpected WWE commitment this weekend.
Imagine, no way, like
watch his music, because no one would know. It'd be like and his entrance video would be Shannon Moore. That'd be what it is.
Do you know what would be great if they did that? Like, you know, remember when SmackDown was taping and have these really shit, like, stop pop? Yeah. Yeah. But, like, like, I'm just trying to think, like, because with Shannon, like, Shannon Moore, like, that's, if three counts were to reunite, that's three slots in an already very full Royal Rumble.
But how happy would I be?
Yeah, see, I think that's probably what they're thinking as well. That's probably, like, their thought process.
Jinder Mahal is back. Have we seen the rumor? Well,
what,
like he's cleared. He's cleared.
What,
yeah.
Legitimately forgot he existed.
Yeah, yeah, but like, have we actually seen the 3MB reunion? Did that happen last year?
No.
Where we got it? So there's a possible 3MB reunion.
So up for that. But that also means that Heath Slater gets another spot in the Rumble.
Which means that 23. Like,
oh, but that means was Jinder announced for the Rumble?
No.
Oh, so that's two spots now.
On 3MB.
But it will be worth it. 3MB, like.
I want Or Truth to enter the Rumble and someone pin him in the Rumble. Is he 24/7 champion now?
Oh, shit, yeah.
No, Mojo Rawley is.
What?
Yeah.
I don't want him to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, he's Mojo Rawley's 24/7 champ now. And there's a strong possibility. He may even be announced for the Rumble. I couldn't care. I just, like, gloss over him when I see.
No, Mojo won't be in the Rumble.
There's now 25 announced for the Rumble. I have the list here.
Oh, that's way too many.
Mojo Rawley's not announced.
But has Steve Blackman been announced? Because if not, he's my pick.
No, he hasn't been announced.
25 announced, that's bad.
We also have to take into account that Brock Lesnar's number one here.
Oh, that's what I wanted. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's what I want to talk about. My theory for that is, right, number two is someone shit.
Yeah.
Number three is someone normal. And then number four they'll have somebody big. But my fear is Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking of Cain Velasquez. I was thinking Matt Riddle. I was thinking someone cool like that. And now I'm thinking Cain Velasquez, and I'm really, please no.
I'm getting depressed for multiple reasons here. One, because Cain Velasquez, and two, because Burnley just went 2-0 up on Man United.
I knew it. I was saying this to everyone in the group chat yesterday. United, like, that's not a match I look at and go, United have this. I knew. It wasn't even like, I'm not even like, oh my God, we're losing. Like, I was like that against Arsenal. But Burnley, I've...
It's depressing.
We never do that against Burnley.
It's depressing.
So fuck it.
How do you see the Brock thing playing now?
I just hope he gets chucked out by whoever's number two really quickly, because I don't want to see him run through the entire Rumble.
Ah, no, but that's...
You have to do that for... Like, no, this is going to make the Rumble pass, like, quickly, because you're going to have, like, you're not going to get, like, loads of dead spots where there's 15 people, like, just pretending to throw each other over the top rope. Because, like, I think Brock is in it for at least the first half. And, like... I think it's nailed on that this is setting up his WrestleMania like opponent. So you need to start looking at SmackDown for winners. But like, it's just a case of who. Cain Velasquez is the scary one. I think Kevin Owens. I think I've been saying this for months now. Kevin Owens is their big push for Mania, and like, he's getting pushed kind of as the face. They have him in a holding pattern with Rollins and stuff, but they just need him to eliminate. But we spoke about this as well last week. Imagine Walter came out and just squared up with Brock. Just that image alone would be fucking deadly.
Brock would immediately just fist him. Like, it wouldn't even be close. Like, he'd just batter the fuck out of him. I
hope Otis squares up to him.
Oh, that's a good show.
Is
he announced for Rumble?
He's announced, yeah.
Yeah, that's. Okay. I would not be surprised. Yeah. Or I'd probably do something with Mandy.
He'd be like number three. Yeah, like, yeah, you have a shit person number two, and then you have three, and you're like, okay, I'm into this. All right, yeah.
I feel like the first couple, it's going to be Brock's battering the bike, and that's going to be... I think it's going to be entertaining. I think it's going to be like, that's what I want. Like,
yeah,
it's different.
It gives a character.
Yeah. This Rumble will stand out as the one where Brock Lesnar like started it and then it ended with some mad shit probably.
Yeah. And so, then, it'll be completely different by the end.
Such as Rowan winning it, but we'll get to that. Don't worry.
So, who are we thinking? Have we got any other surprises we want to throw in there? I'm all here for Steve Blackman. When Steve Blackman comes back, like, I'm like, right. I'm done with Low Blows. That's it. Thanks. It's been fun, guys. This has peaked. It's never getting better. That's it.
I'm going with I'm going with Edge. CM Punk.
It's well on the cards. Like.
It's possible.
It's well on the cards.
I wouldn't bet on it this year. I'd say next year, but I wouldn't say this year.
Ken Shamrock is doing a lot of shows recently.
No, but that's why I wouldn't go with Ken Shamrock. He's with Impact and all that now.
Oh, is he?
Well, I don't know if he's signed, but he's doing a lot.
I've seen him on WXW. That was random.
It'd be cool to hear the music again. Like, if you heard Ken Shamrock's music again, that would be fucking class. Because it's just like one of those things, like songs you do not expect to hear. Like Maven.
Maven showed up, I'd probably cry. That like in a good way. Like that'd be amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Same.
Oh, there has to be one fucking NXT UK lad, isn't there?
Like
Jordan.
Is that Jordan?
Five spots to go between NXT and NXT UK and surprises.
Oh man, no. This way they need to make a 40. I've said it's 40. I know it's two rumbles, but they need to make a 40.
I hate when they put entire tag teams in the rumble.
Yeah, what are you in a rumble for, you selfish prick? You're looking for your team. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, we had to get both Singh brothers in here. Like,
yeah,
fuck off.
I hate that. Like, Otis and Tucker are both in it, and there's another two or three tag teams.
What'd
in
you
it.
Do if, like, Tucker came
Just
in?
Pick the most charismatic one out of Otis and Tucker, out of Street Profits, out of, you know what I mean?
What would you do if Tucker came out and it was actually Tucker from Belfast and they, like, you just replaced Tucker? Like, but they don't
and no one
it.
And none. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Just
yeah. In the heavy machinery gear. That's just like, but I just don't acknowledge the change. Like, can we put that as a prediction?
Sure.
I'm not going to, but it's just there if you want to take it.
It's your points.
War Truth is announced.
Okay, awesome. So he's number two.
Do you think somebody will, like, R Truth or someone will do the whole, oh my god, he's been knocked out backstage, who's going to replace him?
Yeah, there's a good shout for that, but then who is it? Is that who faces Brock? So like then you're looking at if it's Velasquez or if it's Matt Riddle. Well, you could get Goldberg or Matt Riddle. You could easily get that.
There's so many like potential stuff.
What about Ray gets knocked out backstage and Velasquez?
Don't say Velasquez. Just don't bring his name up. I'd really
the name.
How about
guys, I said it really carefully and properly.
No,
that
you,
time
said
as well.
Nice. You said it nice.
You actually did
but
say it. Yeah.
It's just the idea of him showing up. I think if we just don't mention him and hope WWE forget. that's my strategy because I don't. Is there anyone who wants to see Cain Velasquez? Is there anyone who'll pop for Cain Velasquez?
He's done an interview where he's like, "Yeah, I think I'm in the Rumble." It's like you think? Fucking idiot. You're not good at this.
You're going to keep it like do a page shows where it's like, oh, maybe, ooh, you never know. Oh, I was like, actually, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I'm booked. Yeah, no, my agent told me I had to be there on the 26th.
Some royal.
Yeah, I'm doing a rumble. Rumble, is that what it's called? It's like, stop talking.
You're ruining it for everyone.
Okay, right, final picks. Surprise entrant, winner.
Surprise entrant, oh, God. Who did I say earlier?
I can't remember. If you can't remember, I can't remember.
Oh, no. I didn't know I had to give a definitive answer. Tree count.
Okay.
No, Christian. Christian.
Okay.
Chris Holden. All right. Yeah.
And what was the other question?
Winner.
Randy Orton.
What?
You're so shit at this one.
This is why you lose at fantasy and all this shit.
Okay, Orton. I'll pick someone else.
You can pick Orton.
You can pick Orton if you want. It's your call. Like.
No, you know what? I'm going to pick someone I want to win. Samoa Joe. There.
Okay.
That's a laugh. I actually will for Samoa Joe winning.
Samoa Joe Brock. Yeah, we've seen it before and it was good.
But imagine it like...
Why are you saying Brock?
The Fiend?
Yeah.
He's not on that brand.
I'd prefer Joe Brock as well. I think it'd be better.
Wait, is Brock the champion?
Yeah.
What?
Fiend is WWE champion.
On.
Brock is Universal champion.
Why is Brock in the Rumble if he's champion?
No, he's...
Other way around, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Because he's done everything. He's
and
never
he wants no belts. Like, he wants to just
but what happens if he wins the Rumble? He wrestles himself.
No, he wrestles the Fiend.
It's the unification.
He's standing in the ring by himself like, hey. Ding, 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 guys, I did it.
I thought I'd be like, guys, I won the Rumble. I'm the champion, so therefore I get the night off.
A WrestleMania, that'd
be I
gas.
Have misconstrued this entire Rumble scenario. I'm really sorry.
Still sticking with Samoa Joe, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? Somebody did make great. This might help you with your pick, right? I don't know why I want to help you with your pick, but this is just an observation someone made. Like, because Brock is in the Rumble, whoever eliminates him is probably fighting him at Mania. They're going to set that up. So it'll probably be a SmackDown person or somebody fighting the Fiend, whoever wins this one.
I made this point 5 minutes ago. You clearly were.
Is Randy Orton on Raw?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, he is.
So I can go Randy Orton and then Randy Orton versus Brock.
You can do whatever you want. If that's what you want, then...
I would like to see that match.
Okay, fair enough. We did, SummerSlam. It was pretty bad.
Yeah, it was.
That was deadly. That was one of the few times I was watching wrestling and I literally went...
Oh, yeah, because I thought he died.
I thought he died as well.
Yeah, we all just thought he was shooting on him. Like,
the way it ended, it was like... Alright, well, he's dead.
And Chris Jericho, do you remember Chris Jericho thought it was a shoe and started on Brock backstage?
See, that was gas crack. Let's do that again.
The funniest part is the way he's like bleeding and like dead on the canvas. His blood is pouring onto the canvas on a kid's show. Like all the kids in the audience, like, what the fuck, mom? And it's just like, the, you know, like the end of the show, like the outro, like, da na na na. Okay, good night, guys.
Wrestling is such a weird thing. Kane, who you got?
Eric Rowan. I'd say Eric Rowan.
And I'm ridiculous.
Why can't Eric Rowan win it? Why? Who's going to eliminate him? He's massive.
Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar would. All right, fun fact. Who will Eric Rowan and Brock Lesnar have squared off on Rumble before. Who eliminated who?
I'm guessing because you're confronting me like this that Eric Rowan eliminated Brock Lesnar.
It'd be weird. It would be funny though if he did turn around and he's like, no, pay attention. Lesnar, of course Lesnar eliminated
him. But he learned from that loss. No, Rowan actually eliminated Brock Lesnar before. I think Lesnar will be gone before Rowan even comes out. I think Rowan's going to be in between 10 and 20. I'd say probably around 16 or so.
Do we see Rowan's pet?
I don't think so. I think, realistically, not in my heart, obviously, but in my head, somebody taunts him with it, and he gets eliminated, and that would set up whatever his feud is going to be, you know, going into Mania or whatever.
He's not getting a singles Mania match.
He fucking is.
He's not.
He could win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
He could do that. That's a great show.
It's going to be slick. Anyway, but I'm never going to bet against Rowan. Imagine if Rowan won. You're in Buskers with me, and Eric Rowan wins.
Not as fun as you think. Because for a really happy Keen, you have a couple hundred really unhappy people.
Are you sure? I think they'll buy into it by the end.
Not everyone who's pissed at 4 o'clock in the morning is going to ironically enjoy the role.
No, it's ironic. That's the thing. It won't be ironic. That's what my point. It'll be really, like, if they'll be into it the way I'm into it, it's going to be fucking great. I'm going with Rowan. Probably Rowan. But I'm going to go with Rowan.
Surprise entry. For now.
Oh, Edge, all day.
Yeah. I'm going Edge for surprise entry. I'm going for Roman. You said it wrong. Roman Reigns is winning this. This is
50 points. I don't mind. That's
yeah, I know. I picked Kevin Owens originally because I thought he was going to win it. But obviously, look, plans are changing. So Roman Reigns is winning. Congratulations on your 50 points. But I've got Shayna Baszler in my fantasy team, so I'll take mine too. Anyway, guys, that is all the time we have. Guys, in the meantime, big news on both fronts. So keep an eye on... this week, Flamboyant Fabio, this Friday, has a special show. It's going to feature a lot of the stars from Fight Factory, so stay tuned for that. You've got the Irish Junior Heavyweight title on the line, Flamboyant Fabio against Alexander Dean, Irish Wrestler of the Year. You've got Scotty Davis against Liam Royal. You've got Morden Hype against the O3. You've got the Mid-Card Mafia against Club Rock Shandy and an unknown partner. That is all that and more to come this Friday evening. In Kilmore West Community Centre, doors 6:30. The show starts 7 p.m. So get on that, Katie. You're going to be there, right?
I am going to be there. Yes.
Interesting. Can you give us any info on what you'll be doing?
I don't think so. I can give you a list of things I won't be doing. I will be there and I will be wrestling, yes.
Okay, excellent. So get involved in that. It's going to be class. Corporate Keen made a very entertaining return.
Finally made a video.
YouTube this week. It was like 6 videos in 6 minutes.
Yeah. I didn't plan it. I wanted to get a Royal Rumble predictions video out and I didn't know what to do. I even went on
That's
Twitch.
The video.
I even went on Twitch at one point and it was so shit. I just didn't include that in the video. So it's there.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. Go and watch it. Thanks.
So Corporate Keen on YouTube, and if you want to check it out, if you want to get the link, you can get it on the Low Blows. You can get it on the Low Blows Twitter, guys. But that is all we have until Sunday, where we will see you at Buskers on the Ball for the most fun night of the Low Blows calendar, the Royal Rumble Party. It is going to be absolutely class. But we'll be with you until then, because tonight, probably, if you're listening on Thursday night from 8 p.m., the Royal Rumble 2001 Tweetathon, join us to predict. League League on Friday. We're going to be all over Twitter, Friend Away, Hard Times and Worlds Collide at the weekend. And then, of course, the Royal Rumble on Sunday. It's going to be class. But until then, guys, we'll be back this weekend with a Royal Rumble and Conor McGregor special of Oslo Blows. So stay tuned for that. But until then, for Katie Harvey, for Corporate Keane, I've been Rick Nash, and that's the bottom line. Because Loblo said so.